Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, so today we're diving deep into retail, really into the heart of it.
Yeah.
We're looking at Target, specifically their third quarter performance in 2024.
All right.
We've got a lot to unpack. We've got the earnings call transcript and that oh-so-detailed 10Q filing.
Yeah, always a joy to dig into.
So we're going way past those surface-level headlines and, like you said, getting into the nitty-gritty.
Absolutely. What I find really interesting here is we're not just looking at the numbers, right?
Right.
We're seeing how Target's actually adapting to, well, everything happening in the economy right now.
Yeah.
And then what that means for, you know, the everyday shopper.
Okay. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
One of the big things from the earnings call was this phrase, resilient but resourceful consumer. What exactly did Target's execs mean by that?
Well, they're seeing that people are still spending, which is good.
Yeah.
But they're being way more intentional about it.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily cutting back entirely, but definitely waiting for sales, comparing prices, you know, making those budgets strong.
So it's less about, oh, I can't buy anything, and more like, all right, how can I be smarter about this?
Exactly. Being strategic with your spending.
Right. And a great example they gave was how shoppers approached Target Circle Week.
Oh, yeah.
Massive spike in sales that week.
Huge.
But dips the week before and after.
Exactly. It's like people were waiting, holding out for those deals.
Like clockwork almost. People are becoming master strategists. It's a whole new game.
It really is. Completely different from just, you know, impulse buying like we used to see.
So then how does Target have to adapt to this?
They need to be even more strategic, especially with promotions and pricing.
I see.
It's not enough to just have low prices. They got to create that sense of urgency, make those deals feel exciting.
And that kind of ties into those limited time collabs, right? I read about this cuddle collaboration.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
Matching outfits for pets and their owners really boosted sales in the pet category.
Yeah, it seems like a fun way to, you know, tap into trends, get people excited about those everyday purchases.
But is there a downside to this strategy? I mean, could it be too reliant on, like, what's hot right now?
That's a good point. I mean, it definitely requires constant innovation. You got to keep your finger on the pulse of what people are into.
Right.
Yeah, relying too much on any one thing could be risky.
Okay, so we're seeing shoppers getting resourceful, but what about what they're actually buying?
Right.
What's top priority? What's taking a back seat?
Well, Target reported low single-digit growth for their food and beverage and essentials category.
Makes sense. Those are needs.
Exactly. People still got to eat, keep their homes running, even when things are tight.
Right.
But even within those essentials, Target's doing some interesting things.
Yeah. Their own brands, they talked a lot about those during the call.
Oh, yeah. Good and Gather and Favorite Day seem to be killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like they're focusing on new flavors, trendy stuff to compete with other brands.
Interesting.
And grab more market share.
So even with the basics, shoppers still want something new.
They do. A little excitement never hurts.
All right, let's talk apparel. That's a big one for Target.
Huge.
But the earnings call was kind of mixed on that.
It was a bit of a roller coaster, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the weather's been all over the place. That definitely impacts apparel sales.
Absolutely. Unseasonably warm temps in some parts of the country really messed with things.
But there were some interesting regional trends when the weather finally cooled down in some areas.
Oh, as soon as it got colder, apparel sales jumped.
Wow.
It's like people are ready to buy sweaters and jackets, but only when they actually need them.
Makes sense.
Not going to buy a coat in a heat wave, right?
Right. So the demand's there. It's about timing.
Yeah, getting the right product in front of people at the right time.
And even with the weather weirdness, Target seems confident they're doing better than the overall apparel industry.
Yeah, they highlighted the Wild Fable Game Day collection doing well, those affordable mix and match pieces.
And the relaunched Auden Intimates brand. That seems to be exceeding expectations.
Yeah, that shows they understand what people want. Even in a tough market, they're innovating, updating their offerings.
So beyond apparel, let's look at how they're kind of blending categories together.
Right.
They called it cross-category innovation.
Yeah, it's about creating these unexpected combos and shopping experiences that you wouldn't find anywhere else.
And they gave that great example, Elf Cosmetics and Stanley Drinkware.
Oh yeah, matching your lip gloss to your tumbler. It's genius.
It is.
It's fun, unexpected, taps into the whole personalization thing.
Totally, makes shopping feel like a treasure hunt.
Exactly.
Okay, let's talk holidays. Target always goes all out for that.
They do.
But this year, they're taking it to a whole new level.
It seems like it.
So first, the nostalgia play. A Wizard of Oz theme everywhere.
Love it.
Yeah. And they even got Cynthia Erivo from Wicked for their campaign.
Oh, wow. That's going to get people talking.
For sure. But everyone's watching their budgets this year.
Mm-hmm.
So what about value?
Oh, they're all over that. Starting with their everyday low prices.
All right. Their core thing.
Exactly. But they've also been strategically lowering prices on tons of stuff. Over 7,000 items.
Wow. That's a statement.
It is. They're serious about appealing to budget-conscious shoppers.
And they're bringing back those popular promos like Deal of the Day.
Yep.
And they even had that early Black Friday sale a few weeks ago.
Oh, right. Spread out the shopping frenzy a little bit.
Yeah. And Thanksgiving, they're doing that $20 meal deal for a family of four.
Oh, yeah. That's a great deal. Actually, $5 cheaper than last year.
Wow.
Turkey, stuffing, 5 side dishes, everything you need.
All right. Thanksgiving's covered. What about the main event, Black Friday?
Get ready for some Taylor Swift. They've got 2 exclusive releases launching in stores.
Smart move. That's going to draw the crowds.
Oh, yeah. First, the official Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour book.
Mm-hmm.
Behind-the-scenes stuff, never-before-seen photos, reflections from Taylor herself.
Sounds like a must-have for Swifties.
Definitely. And they'll also have exclusive versions of The Tortured Poets Department, the anthology.
On vinyl and CD.
Both, 35 tracks. Including 4 acoustic bonus songs.
Wow, those exclusives are going to be huge.
No doubt.
But it's not all about big games. They're focusing on affordability, especially with toys.
Yeah, over half their holiday toys are under $20, and tons of stocking stuffers under $5.
And lots of new stuff, too. Their biggest holiday assortment ever.
Yeah, 50% more new items compared to last year.
So value, newness, excitement, they've got it all.
They do.
But what about convenience? How are they making holiday shopping easier?
Well, their same-day services are key. Order pickup, drive up, same-day delivery.
Lifesavers during the holidays.
Absolutely. And they've made some cool digital updates, too.
Like what?
A new gift ideas page on their website and app helps you find gifts within a budget.
Perfect for staying on track.
Yeah. And for those who like to drop hints, there's the digital holiday wish list.
Ah, very handy.
Create your list. Share it with loved ones. No more guessing games.
And their price match guarantee is always a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Peace of mind knowing you're getting the best deal.
All right. So we've covered a lot.
We have.
Consumer trends, spending patterns, target strategies, their holiday plans.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another piece we need to talk about. Inventory management.
Crucial, especially during the holidays. So how's Target handling that?
Their third quarter ending inventory was up a little year over year, about 3% higher.
Okay.
But what about compared to pre-pandemic levels? How does that look?
That's the important question. And they actually addressed that in the call.
Oh, good.
They said their sales growth since 2019 has been a bit faster than their inventory growth over that same period.
So their inventory levels are basically in line with their sales growth.
Yeah. They're managing it well, not sitting on a mountain of unsold stuff.
Impressive, considering all the supply chain issues, yeah. Shifting demand, and of course, that crazy weather.
Definitely.
Speaking of navigating challenges, let's talk about Target's new store growth.
Right. They're opening new locations, even with all the headwinds facing brick and mortar.
It's a bold move. So what's their approach?
It's strategic. They're picking locations in growing communities.
Smart.
Yeah. Places where they see an opportunity to reach new customers.
Not just randomly putting stores anywhere.
Right. It's about being where the growth is.
And it seems to be working. Their new stores are doing better than expected.
Yeah, that's what they reported, which makes sense. Put a Target in a booming neighborhood, people will come.
So it's all about being in the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
But they're not just focused on physical stores. They're also investing heavily in their digital fulfillment.
Of course, speed and efficiency are everything online.
So what are they doing?
Constantly working to improve their ship-to-home speeds.
Okay.
Using their stores and sortation centers to get packages to people faster.
Makes sense.
And their sortation centers are handling a ton more packages this year compared to last, like a 25% increase.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. Shows how much online shopping is still growing.
And how important it is to have a strong fulfillment system.
Absolutely.
Now, before we get into the financials, there's something else from the earnings call that I wanted to touch on.
Okay.
Their focus on guest experience.
I love that they call them guests.
Me too. It feels so much more welcoming.
It does. And it shows how committed they are to making the whole shopping experience positive.
Yeah. Whether you're in-store or online.
Exactly. They're investing in their team members, making sure they have the tools and training to provide great service.
They even talked about how important those personal interactions are.
Yeah. Those little moments that make shopping feel less like a transaction and more like a connection.
And it's paying off. Their net promoter scores are up.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, in key areas like checkout wait times, team member interactions, product availability, store cleanliness.
All those things that really matter.
Yeah, it's great to see them focusing on making it enjoyable to shop at Target.
It shows they care about creating a positive environment for both guests and their team.
All right, so we've explored their strategies, their holiday plans, their commitment to the guest experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get to the numbers. Their financial performance in the third quarter.
Let's do it.
What stood out to you?
Well, they were upfront about the challenges.
Yeah.
Higher supply chain costs, general liability expenses, those things impacted their profitability.
So earnings were down year over year.
Yeah.
But we have to remember the bigger context. The whole economy is uncertain right now.
Exactly. Inflation, interest rates, all those factors are at play.
It's not just a Target problem.
Right. It's the overall economic climate.
But even with these challenges, Target seems confident about their long-term strategy.
Yeah, they emphasized that in the call, their commitment to investing in their stores, their digital capabilities, their team members.
And they're seeing positive results in some key areas, even with those discretionary spending categories that are feeling the pressure.
Definitely. Like, they're still gaining market share in apparel and activewear.
So their product assortment and pricing are working.
Seems like it.
And their inventory management, they're in a good spot for the holidays and beyond.
Yeah, they mentioned wanting to end the year with a clean inventory position, which sets them up well for 2025.
Smart planning.
Definitely thinking ahead.
Okay, before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, let's touch on their capital expenditures.
CapEx, all right.
So they're expecting to close out 2024 with a CapEx of about $3 billion.
Okay.
Which is a bit lower than they initially thought.
Mm.
But get this, they're upping their investments in 2025, projecting a CapEx of $4 billion to $5 billion.
Wow, that's a big jump.
It is, and that includes investments in new stores, remodels, technology upgrades, supply chain enhancements.
So they're investing across the board, showing they're committed to growth and innovation.
Both in their stores and online.
Exactly.
Bold move, considering everything going on in the economy.
It is, but it also shows their confidence in navigating the challenges and coming out stronger on the other side.
So from this first look at Target's performance, what stood out to you most?
I think their adaptability. They're not just writing things out. They're actively adjusting their strategies to meet the needs of their customers and the changing retail world.
Yeah.
Their commitment to innovation is impressive, too. Trying new things, experimenting, pushing boundaries.
They're not afraid to take risks.
Not at all. It's a fascinating case study in how a major retailer can navigate this complex and always changing environment.
All right. Well, we'll delve deeper into these ideas in our next segment and explore some, I guess you could say, provocative thoughts.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We're just getting started. We've talked a lot about how Target's adapting, you know, to those changing consumer behaviors and the whole economic situation.
Right.
But I want to dig a little deeper into something specific, something I find really interesting.
Okay.
Their investments in, well, actual stores, brick and mortar, even with online shopping growing like crazy.
Yeah, it is interesting. A lot of retailers are scaling back their physical presence. So what do you think is driving Target to stick with their stores?
Well, from what they're saying, they don't just see their stores as places to buy stuff. Mm. They see them as like key assets for creating these unique shopping experiences that, you know, build loyalty, create a strong connection with customers.
Yeah, I get that. Even with online shopping being so convenient, there's still something about being in a store.
Totally.
Seeing the products, touching them, and that instant gratification of walking out with your purchase.
It's a different experience. It's a mix of convenience, discovery, and even that social aspect of shopping.
Right.
That's tough to replicate online.
And Target stores are changing. They're becoming more dynamic, more experiential.
Like community hubs, almost.
Yeah, they're incorporating entertainment, personalization, even social impact elements.
It's about making the experience richer, more engaging for shoppers.
So it's not just about buying, it's about hanging out, being part of something.
Exactly, connecting with the brand, with other people.
Do you think this strategy will work in the long run?
It's definitely a bet. But I think it's a smart one. People still want those physical experiences, those opportunities to connect. And by adding those community-focused elements, Target's creating a sense of belonging.
I see.
Which can lead to, you know, more loyalty, people coming back again and again.
We talked earlier about how Target's using data to personalize the online experience.
Right.
Do you see that playing a role in their physical stores as well?
Absolutely. Data is powerful. It helps you understand what customers want, both online and offline. So Target can use that data to tailor their store layouts, product assortment, even the in-store events and promotions they offer.
So it's like bringing that online personalization into the physical store.
Exactly. Blending the digital and the physical.
Another area where Target's investing a lot is social responsibility and sustainability. How do you see those efforts fitting into their overall strategy?
Well, it's becoming crucial for businesses to, you know, align with their customers' values.
Right.
Consumers are way more aware of the impact of their purchases, and they want to support companies that are doing good.
And Target's definitely responding to that.
They are. They're making big strides in reducing their environmental footprint, promoting ethical sourcing, supporting diverse suppliers.
It seems like more than just talk.
It does. They're making it a core part of who they are.
And they're being open about their progress, too.
Yeah, regularly reporting on their sustainability goals and initiatives.
Which builds trust.
Exactly. They're not just saying it. They're showing it.
Right.
And it's not just sustainability. They're also getting involved in their communities, supporting local organizations.
So they're taking a holistic approach.
They are. And it resonates with consumers who are looking for brands that share their values.
It's like they're creating this positive cycle. By doing good, they attract customers who care about those things, and those customers then help them continue doing good.
Yeah, it's a smart approach, and it's becoming more and more common in retail.
Consumers have so many choices now.
They do, and they're choosing to support brands that are making a positive impact.
It's not just about price or convenience anymore.
It's about values, purpose.
So looking ahead, one last area I wanted to touch on is Target's focus on innovation.
Okay.
We've seen it in their products, their digital stuff, their new stores.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
What do you think is driving this constant search for new ideas?
I think they understand that retail is always changing. And to stay ahead, you got to experiment, take risks, push the boundaries.
They're not satisfied with just doing things the way they've always been done.
Nope. They're actively looking for ways to improve, to evolve, to stay ahead of the competition.
And they're not afraid to fail.
Not at all. They seem to have this culture of experimentation, knowing that not every new idea will work.
Right.
But that trying new things is how you grow.
They're embracing new tech, new store formats, new ways to engage customers.
It's like they're constantly asking, what's next? How can we do this better?
That mindset is so important in today's retail world.
It is. Things are moving fast, and they're fostering that innovation within their whole organization.
Yeah, encouraging their team members to be creative, to contribute.
It's really a fascinating case study in how a company can stay relevant and successful.
By embracing change, focusing on the customer, and constantly innovating.
Exactly.
We've covered a lot today, from their financials to their strategies, their commitment to social responsibility, and their focus on creating those unique shopping experiences.
It's been a deep dive.
It has, and I think we're starting to see some clear themes emerge, things that go beyond just Target.
Yeah, things that have implications for the whole retail industry.
Exactly. So in our next segment, we'll connect those dots, explore what Target's performance tells us about the future of retail.
We'll uncover those hidden trends shaping the way we shop.
And what it all means for the consumer.
Stay with us.
So we've spent this whole episode really digging into Target, their performance, how they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty fascinating.
It has.
Seeing how they're responding to, you know, everything changing with consumers, embracing all this innovation, making those big investments for the future. Mm. But let's zoom out for a minute.
Okay.
What does Target's story tell us about the, I guess, the bigger picture of retail?
It's an industry that's, well, transforming, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I think what Target's doing, how they're succeeding, it offers some real insights into how to make it in this constantly changing world.
All right, so let's break that down.
Okay.
What's the first big trend you're seeing?
The lines between online and offline shopping, they're blurring. They're practically gone.
Yeah.
And the retailers who get that, who embrace this omni-channel approach, those are the ones winning.
Right.
And Target's like mastered it. They've seamlessly woven together their stores, website, app, those same-day services. It's all one big ecosystem.
So it's not just offering different ways to shop. Yeah. It's making them work together smoothly.
Exactly. Convenience is key. But like we talked about, it's also about choice, flexibility, and that personalization. Can't forget that.
Right. And Target Circle, that's a great example of how they're using data to make those personalized experiences happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Think about it. Tailored recommendations, special deals just for you, coupons based on what you've bought before.
Makes it feel less like a store and more like, I don't know, a personal shopper.
Exactly. It's all about making the experience feel relevant, engaging for each person.
But it's not all about tech, right?
Yeah.
There's that human element, too.
Mm.
We talked about how Target's focusing on the in-store experience, making their stores destinations.
Right, not just places to buy stuff.
So how did that fit into the bigger picture of retail changing?
It speaks to this, I guess, this growing need for experiences. People still want that, to touch things, be around other people.
Yeah.
That connection you get from actually being in a store, and Target's creating environments that encourage you to explore, to engage.
Right.
Even that sense of community.
So it's not just buying, it's being part of something bigger.
Exactly. Connecting with the brand, with other people who are into the same things.
And that leads us to another big trend, social responsibility and sustainability.
Huge.
Consumers are really paying attention to that now.
Oh, yeah. They're way more aware. They want to support companies that share their values, and they'll spend their money accordingly.
And Target gets it. They're making sustainability a core part of their business.
And they're involved in their communities, too.
Yeah. It's more than just words.
It is. They're walking the walk, and it's not just about being good anymore.
Mm.
It's a smart move. It gives them an advantage.
How so?
People are drawn to brands they trust. Brands that reflect their own values. That authenticity builds loyalty, strengthens the company's reputation in the long run.
So we've got the omni-channel thing, personalized experiences, those experiential stores, the focus on social impact.
Yeah.
What's the last piece?
Innovation. Never stop innovating.
Right.
Target's always experimenting, pushing boundaries, embracing new technologies.
You're not afraid to try and maybe fail sometimes?
Exactly. That's part of the process. And that culture of innovation, it's crucial for staying ahead of the game.
So being agile, adaptable, constantly evolving to keep up with consumers.
Yeah, the world's not standing still. Neither can retail.
Target's story is really interesting. It shows how a big company can navigate all this complexity, all this constant change.
It's a reminder that the future of retail belongs to the companies that embrace change, focus on the customer, and never stop innovating.
Right. And maybe even more importantly,
yeah,
it shows that success in retail today, it's not just about selling things.
It's bigger than that.
It's about building relationships, fostering community, creating those experiences that really connect with people.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
This deep dive has given us a lot to think about.
It has.
So as we wrap up, what's the one thing you hope people listening take away from all this?
That retail is constantly changing. It's a wild ride.
Yeah.
But the companies that are willing to adapt, innovate, and really connect with their customers, those are the ones that will thrive.
And Target's giving us a glimpse of how to do that.
Exactly. They're leading the way.
Well, that's a wrap on our deep dive into Target. We hope you enjoyed it, learned some things along the way.
Yeah.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing those boundaries.
Absolutely.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.